it's fitting that on the day after the one-month anniversary of the return of issues, et cetera, we'd start something new, and this is a little new. It's something we tried, I think, in our previous incarnation and just never got off the ground for some reason. An issues, et cetera, blog of the week. The way it works, it's quite simple. The way it works is Jeff and I do read a lot of blogs because, yeah, we have a lot of time on our hands. No, we just spend a lot of time, you know, looking over what people are writing on their blogs. And in the course of that, we thought, you know, some of this stuff is so good and may never see, you know, a brighter light of day. Why don't we pick each of us a blog post from any number of blogs every week and make it the Issues Etc. blog of the week? Now, in order to be considered for Issues Etc. the blog of the week, we have a simple requirement. You simply have to put one of the Issues Etc. widgets on your blog site. And you get that by going to issuesetc.org, our website. Click Promotions or Promote. I can never remember which one it is. And you'll find the widget there. It's very simple and self-explanatory. You put it on your blog. And when you do, email us at talkback@issuesetc.org and let us know that you've done that. Also, if you want to nominate yourself, one of your posts, or something that you've read for Issues Etc. blog of the week and bring it to our attention because we can't read them all, email us talkback@issuesetc.org. That way we know you've got the widget, we know that you're qualified, we know your blog is there, and you can make other nominations as well. talkback@issuesetc.org. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week here in just a few minutes.
On the subject of blogging, do you remember an interview in July of 05 with Sandra Ostapowicz and Scott Stiegemeyer? We're going into a break, you said. After this break, we're going to talk about blogs and blogging, and somebody is going to have to convince me that blogging is nothing more than, quote, a colossal waste of bandwidth, end quote. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I distinctly remember it.
And do you remember what I told you when we went into break? What I predicted?
Yeah, I think I do. I think you said something like, these bloggers are going to be our salvation one of these days. Didn't you say something like that?
Yes, I said, when this show gets canceled, we're going to need the blogs to come to our defense.
And we had them, baby.
Oh, big time, big time.
We had them.
So would you like to apologize to all the bloggers out there?
Well, actually, I will apologize. And I'll apologize for doubting the power of the blogosphere. But I didn't actually say that it was a colossal waste of bandwidth. I just said someone would have to convince me that it wasn't. And I think at the time, I probably considered it a colossal waste of bandwidth. But I'd spent so much time coming up with that phrase, colossal waste of bandwidth, that it was, you know, I didn't want to waste it and not use it on the air. But I've been proven completely wrong. And I was completely wrong when it came to not only the potential of the blogosphere, but also the amount of good that it can do. So I apologize, yes. Okay, Jeff, did you pick a blog post this week, or are we still, is this like homework? You're still surfing the net while I'm talking, trying to find one.
Oh, have I been scouring the blogs.
What did you find this week as your Issues Etc. blog of the week?
Well, this is a new one that I didn't know about until they sent us that they added the IE widget. It's called Epistles from Exile by Pastor Alan Kornacki, or Kornacki. I apologize, Pastor. I'm not sure which way. And this hits home because it's titled Fatherhood. I can relate to this. I'll just read a couple of sentences from it. It's 5:23 in the morning as I start writing this. That's because my son just went back to sleep, having woken me up on a scant hour and a half after my daughter went back to sleep. I'm tired, but I can't go back to bed just yet. Well, I guess I could, but if I don't wait a few minutes to see if Michael is really asleep and not playing possum, I could be back out here in 2 minutes to pick him up again. See, I can relate to this. I've got four little ones. Some days the vocation of father is more difficult than other days. It's not just the exhaustion, though, God knows. There's plenty of that. I haven't been able to sleep through the night in 2 weeks now. It's beginning to take its toll. But I've noticed that when I'm tired, my patience wears thin. This is not a good thing when dealing with toddler twins in their terrible twos, that's for sure. And Pastor Kornacki goes on to say, you know, I never thought I'd be a father. This is like me. Not that I ever had anything as children, but I never thought I'd get married. No wife, no kids. But he said, I've had three wonderful examples in fatherhood. He mentions his own father, his vicarage bishop, who has seven children. And then he ends it by this. And then, of course, there's the perfect father. He's the father who sent his only begotten son to atone for the sins of the world. He's the father who perfectly answers every need of his children. He's the father who loves wayward children who love to rebel against him. He's the father who loves us to call him father. He heals our ills. He comforts our griefs. He provides all that we need to support this body in life. And that's my Issues Etc. blog of the week, Epistles from Exile by Pastor Alan Kornacki.
Now, we're going to post a link to both of our picks this week at our website, issuesetc.org, so you can go and read them. We'll maybe read excerpts from them, but you can go read them, and then you can see what else these bloggers of the week, maybe we should have called it blogger of the week, these bloggers of the week are writing. You know what I've noticed something, Jeff? I've noticed that going through these and actually reading a lot of these posts, there are some really good writers out there. And hidden deep within the blogosphere, there are some true faithful Lutheran laymen and laywomen writing some very good stuff. It's very encouraging to read this kind of stuff from the pens of lay people. And sometimes pastors' blogs are... No, I don't want to say anything bad about pastors' blogs, because I said something bad about blogging. When was it, Jeff? Back in 2005?
July, I think it's July. I actually have the show pulled up here. July 27th of 05.
Is Craig actually trying to get that audio so he can play it to embarrass me? No, Craig would never want to embarrass me.
No, Craig's just, he's just loading up his iPod to listen to the best of Issues Etc. This weekend, because he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, as usual, as usual. Well, the blog that I picked for my pick of Issues Etc. blog of the week is actually from a blog that I visit on a regular basis. It's been around for actually quite some time, called Putting Out the Fire. The fellow who does this I know only as Frank. He doesn't have his last name. And my general rule of thumb is that if all you give me is your first name, that's all I can use. And you probably have perfectly good reasons for being semi-anonymous, and that's just fine with me. And the post that he put up, this is a couple days old. It came on Monday this week, just in time for me to pick it as the Issues Etc. blog of the week. It's called Things You Shouldn't Put on Your Church's Homepage. Now, his blog is puttingoutthefire.blogspot.com, and we will post a link to this particular post at our website. I just want to read a little bit of among the things that he says you should not put on your church's website. And this, I have an affinity for this because one of my very geeky hobbies is visiting church websites, and because I think they say an awful lot about what a church thinks it is. It can be a very, very sad exercise, by the way. Things you shouldn't put on your church's website. Number one, anything highlighting your dynamic puppet ministry that's conducted during the worship service. I don't care if you've got puppets for a really good price during the Lenten season blowout spectacular at CPH. Leave Elmo at the house. The second thing, not to put on your church's website, mission statements explaining that while Christ's church is 2,000 years old, you just figured out how to make it relevant to me today. Number three, mission statements explaining that while Christ's church is 2,000 years old, you just figured out how to make it dynamic to me today. Number four, any pictures of Pastor Mike dressed up as John the Baptist. If Pastor Mike thinks himself a thespian, he should prayerfully consider a career change, actors belong in the theater, not in the church, on a Sunday morning. And number five, any reference to any document that was issued by a consulting firm to show you how to market yourself. The very fact that you have gone out and got people in the secular realm to tell you how to do your sacred job speaks volumes. If you paid one penny for such drivel, you got ripped off. Some guy named Luke already wrote a model for how to grow the church and didn't charge you one red cent for the darn thing. Read it. It's been on the bestsellers list for a couple of years now, and from the time it came out, it's worked. Again, read it. And that's from my Issues Etc. pick for blog of the week. Again, the blog is Putting Out the Fire, and the post that I'm talking about came on Monday, Things You Shouldn't Put on Your Church's Homepage. He also has a delightful picture, or a very sad picture, of a pastor dressed as a clown with a Bible in his hand at the front of the church. That's the Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll have links to both of these up on our website. Jeff's trying to communicate with me. And that's issuesetc.org. Next week we'll have some other picks to qualify. Just go get the widget at the promotion section of our website, issuesetc.org. Put it on your blog and then email us at talkback@issuesetc.org to let us know that you're qualified.